In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. A phrase has been rattling around in my head, especially in light of my preparation for today's sermon. I was actually shocked and amazed to read in one of many different commentaries the conclusion that they drew from this. The most important thing of today is not the gospel or the Old Testament promises or anything else. They've taken this single phrase and they said, well, you see, it's a universal salvation. Everybody will be saved. That's what he says in there. It ignores the fact, number one, that Peter is writing to a Christian community. It ignores the fact that mankind has fallen in the Garden of Eden. It ignores the fact that a forerunner has come before Christ, baptizing with repentance. It ignores the fact that Christ came and died on a cross. It ignores Christian responsibility or Christian duty. That's not what that passage means. That passage is not about universal salvation. If it were, why be cast out of the Garden of Eden? Why put an angel with a flaming sword to protect the tree of life? Why make Christ incarnate? Why preach repentance? Why have Christ come and die? Why wait in anticipation through Advent? For the matter of that, why come to church? Why be a good person? Why do anything if there is such a thing as universal salvation? It's a nice thought. It's a nice theory. It takes all the responsibility off of us. We don't have to do a single thing. We don't have to lift a single finger. We don't even have to be good people. Is that what we anticipate at Christmas, in Advent? Is that what we celebrate in Lent? Now, there's some people that want to believe that more than anything. But in order to do so, you have to skip over all scripture that sits there and talks about the day of the Lord, the coming of the Lord, that separates the sheep from the goats. You have to get rid of all scripture that talks about sin and repentance. I would actually say you even have to get rid of scripture that talks about faith and being grafted into the branch of Israel. Because it doesn't matter. That's not what we anticipate. We recognize the fact that we are fallen creatures. We come to the rail every week seeking repentance and solace and strength and salvation. That's not a bad thing. You've heard me speak before, and it's probably appropriate that we speak this way at Christmas time, but salvation is a gift freely offered to all. But what good is a gift if you never open it? What good is a gift if you don't recognize it as a gift and it becomes a right, a demand? What does it profit you? You can keep on doing exactly as you've always done. I could keep on being the person that I always was. And trust me, there are a number of people that really don't want me to do that. I am better for my understanding of Christ that is not rooted in universal salvation. I heard the voice in the wilderness telling me to make the ways straight for Christ. That ultimately is why I came back to the church. It's why I went to seminary. It's why I stand before you and serve. I don't have to do that if my understanding is universal salvation. There's a church that actually believes that. The Unitarians are famous for this. And they're dying. Ask Doug. He goes to a lot of their seminaries. He gets a lot of really good books from them because they're of no importance. We don't understand or don't often think of the gravity of the situation of what is done for us at Christmas time. We want to pass it off as simplistic or some kind of ritual to be performed. That's not giving God glory. That's not coming with the understanding that we are fallen. And being fallen, make no mistake, being fallen is not a bad thing. It is a state that all of humanity exists in. But it is also a state that we do not have to be in. There is a way that has been made. The child that is coming offers the gift of salvation freely, offers the gift of grace freely, offers the antidote to our situation. We just have to accept it. Sometimes that's difficult. Think of how often we are with doctors and don't want to go to them. Think how great we are with dentists and don't want to go to them. Sometimes it's very hard to understand this. But the way to make sense of it is not to make light of what has been done and is being done and will be done again. Universal salvation is not a thing. That implies there are no goats and there are no sheep. That implies that there are no saved and are no unsaved. That implies that we don't need faith. That we don't need to show fruits of our salvation. That we don't need to worship. Most especially, it tells us that we don't need to be civilized to one another. That's the curse of everything being handed to you. To not having to work for anything. To not recognize the gift that you've been given. We do things differently at different seasons of the church. You see the Advent wreath before you. It marks our way through the course of Advent. It's symbolic of the progression. You see the pink candle, and we'll talk more about that next week. But there's a reason for that. There's a reason for the purple candles. There's a reason for the preparation and examination that we do. Simply because it matters. Prayer matters. Church matters. Eucharist matters. The gifts of God matter. And to say that it's universal negates that gift. For is it truly a gift if it already belongs to you? Amen.